Are we ready, Lori and Sue? We're okay to go. Allow me to welcome everybody to State Affairs, and I'm calling the meeting to order at 9:02. This is Thursday, April 2nd, 2009. At this time, if you've not already done so, I politely ask you to turn off all your electronic devices. The record will now reflect that Senator Kukash, Passvan, Senator Myers, and Senator Menard are present. And I'd like to introduce my committee aide, Debbie Prater. There's a couple bills on the agenda. First, we're going to deal with Senate Bill 157, certifications of participation for subport. And then we'll roll into Senate Bill 126. It's a committee substitute for reemployment of retiree exempt employees. So this morning, we'll begin with Senate Bill 157. Senator Olson, staff person Denise Leakey-Oley will make the opening remarks for the Senate bill as he has a conflicting meeting going on. After Denise has finished, I will invite Representative Minot to come forward and explain the bill and receive questions from the committee. Please state your name, Denise, for the record and affiliation.
Yes, good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Denise Leakey-Oley, and I'm staff to Senator Olson. Senator Olson does send his regrets that he could not be here this morning, and he very much thanks you for taking the time to hear this bill today. Later on in the presentation, the Department of Administration has staff here, and they're going to speak to this bill in more detail today. But I did want to start by saying that really what is driving the need for this bill is the that new office space is needed for the Department of Labor, which, as you may know, is currently located near the bridge. A building, Fish and Game has one building and Labor has the other right near the bridge. And those office, that office space is leased, and the lease is scheduled to end on June 30th, 2012. There is no office space currently available in Juneau that would house as many people as are currently housed in that particular building, approximately 300 employees in the Department of Labor. And the department, both the Department of Administration and the Department of Labor, do wish to vacate that particular office space. So in order to have another place to go when the lease is up, it is going to be necessary for there to be other space located and most likely built, since there doesn't seem to be any space suitable that already exists in Juneau that would house that many people. This bill would authorize the certificates of participation for one of the options that exists for taking care of that need for space. And even if this bill did not pass, there would need to be an RFP issued for other options for space, and that's a fairly long process to start. So given the timing that's involved, it's important that the departments begin to move now. In addition to that, there are two other office buildings with three state departments in them that are in state-owned buildings that are very aged and in bad need of fairly significant renovation. And again, the Department of Administration and some of the other folks that are here today to testify will speak to all of that in more detail. But I did want to say that just by way of saying that the need for that space for those offices is the reason that the Department of Administration approached the Mental Health Trust to see about doing a joint project that would satisfy some of those needs and be mutually beneficial to the state as well as the trust. The core mission, as you know, of the Mental Health Trust is to develop and manage trust assets for the benefit of mental health beneficiaries. And the trust does own land in Juneau, and WISH has identified that land as one of their top priorities for development. This bill, Senate Bill 157, would enable the trust to develop through the issuance of certificates of participation the much-needed office and retail space in the core downtown area on land they already own. From a centralized location in downtown, the offices that are now in the leased and the state-owned space that is in need of better facilities would function with improved efficiency and better public access. The proposed building would use modern construction standards and new energy-saving technologies to hopefully help with the maintenance and operation costs in the future as well. And most importantly, over time, this new facility would save the state of Alaska money and would also provide a steady revenue stream to the Mental Health Trust that would in turn provide a return on those investments to its beneficiaries. So Senate Bill 157 would enable the trust to move forward with construction and ownership of a new office facility on the land that it already owns in downtown Juneau. And again, there are several speakers here today that will be able to address more specifics about where that is and how that would work. So with that, I did want to, with your indulgence, invite Representative Munoz, who is the sponsor of the companion bill in the other body, to come to the table in Senator Olson's absence and speak to this bill. And Senator Olson would like to urge your favorable passage of this bill into the next committee.
Okay, and before you do that, I would ask if any of the committee members have any questions of Denise at this time. You said aged on those other two buildings. How aged are they that would be joining?
Well, there are Department of Administration representatives here who will speak to that. But I know the public safety building, I believe, is about 40 years old, I want to say. And the fish and game building in Douglas, I'm not positive of the age of that one. But I know that there are people here who can answer that.
Thank you. And for the audience, there's at least a tree worth of paperwork out there. If you haven't already grabbed it, feel free to before. Well, Representative Minot is taking the spotlight. Thank you. You want to just stay there, and
yeah,
you want to pull up a chair? Okay. And you know to state your name and affiliation,
yes,
please, for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Kathy Munoz. I represent District 4. And it's a pleasure to be here. I appreciate very much your prompt hearing of this bill. And thank Denise for the statement that she just gave. And also want to thank the bill sponsor, Senator Olson, and co-sponsors of the legislation. In answer to the question that was just raised, the public safety building was built in 1970 and was a temporary structure built to house employees for approximately 10 years. We're going on about 40 years in that facility. So the state will have to invest considerable funds to bring that facility up to a standard that will continue its use, or we'll have to replace the building in the very near future. The other site is the fish and game building in Douglas, and that was built in the 1950s and is also in need of major renovation and rehabilitation expense. Both facilities are estimated to require approximately $8.5 million in renovation costs. Those are immediate costs and do not contemplate replacement of those facilities.
Okay. Continue, please.
Before I get started, I want to mention, too, again, that there are several individuals here that can speak specifically to the bill. Chief Procurement Officer Vern Jones is here, Harry Noah, Director of the Trust, the Land Office, Devin Mitchell, Revenue Officer with the Department of Revenue, and I believe Jeff Jesse is online with the Alaska Mental Health Trust. Wayne Jensen, who's the architect, is here in the audience, and Deputy Mayor Jeff Bush is also available to speak on behalf of the city. The legislation was introduced on behalf of the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority to allow them to develop a key parcel of land. This particular parcel has been a priority of the trust for development for many years. As you know, the trust holds lands throughout the state of Alaska, and a primary mission of the trust is to develop these assets for the maximum benefit of the beneficiaries. Beginning about a year ago, the trust began meeting with officials of the Department of Administration to develop an opportunity to cooperate to help the state meet its critical space needs while also allowing the trust to develop a key asset. The timing of the legislation is extremely important. As I said earlier, and as Denise mentioned, two of the state-owned facilities are in need of immediate repair and in due time will need to be replaced. The third facility, the Department of Labor building, the lease is soon due to expire in 2012, and the state does not have the desire to remain in that particular space. So just in quick summary, I know there are many people here that would like to speak to the specifics. Again, I want to emphasize the positive benefits, the savings to the state of approximately $13 million over the course of the lease. Also, the benefit that the trust is allowed to develop a key land holding, which will provide revenue for the beneficiaries of the trust over the course of the next 20 or 30 years. And as landowner, the trust provides the land and also half of the construction costs. The bill enables the trust to access $22.7 million in trust funds. And finally, as I said, the state of Alaska, as in partnership, meets a critical space need and also is a participant through the issuance of bonding. Those bonds would be paid back with the revenues of the leases. So I believe this is a win-win proposal, and I really appreciate the opportunity to speak to you. I've had the opportunity to speak to you individually about the legislation and would welcome the input of others here that could speak to specifics of the financing. Thank you.
Okay, are there comments or questions? Senator Kukesh?
I see all of the numbers here, and it relates to repayment of the lease. What is the revenue for the trust? I mean, what is the benefit revenue for the trust?
The current funds are held in the permanent fund. They're invested on behalf of the trust by the permanent fund. And over time, immediately the comparison is similar, the rate of return is similar to the current investments. But over time, the benefit to the trust is increased greatly. And I think the revenue officer can speak specifically to that, and also Harry Noah. But there is definite there's a benefit to the trust with this option over current investment.
Okay, and can I follow up?
Certainly.
The only reason I'm asking is because I understand having that money into a facility where it earns interest, but when you go out and you spend the money, being the business person that I am with C Alaska Corporation, I want to make sure that if you're going to spend money for a mental trust authority, then there has to be some sort of income.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the benefit? I just want to know what the numbers are.
Yeah.
And I hope I'm not expecting you to answer it.
I know somebody else
will answer it. But
they will be able to speak specifically to that. There's a very detailed analysis and a benefit analysis to the trust that has already been established.
Good.
If it's okay, does anyone else have any questions or comments? Okay, Senator Meyer.
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Representative Monius, for coming today. Just a couple questions. I know, having spent time at the local level with local government, that one of the biggest concerns we have when a state entity builds a building is then automatically that's property taxes that we're no longer getting. And I'm assuming, and you have somebody here from the city of Juneau, that the city of Juneau supports the state doing this versus a private developer.
Yes, the state and the city of Juneau does endorse the project, And we have supporting documentation in the file to
even though that's going to raise property taxes for everybody else,
right?
Because that's a piece of property that's not going to go on the private tax rolls.
Right.
Okay.
The city recognizes the need to replace the space to find an opportunity for those employees to be located in space that will meet the requirements of a state lease. And those requirements are not being met in the current facility.
Okay, but those same, Madam Chair, if I may,
yes.
Those same needs could be met, though, with a private developer building the building and then still getting the property taxes. But apparently that option is not the way you want to go.
Well, again, we see this as a great opportunity to work with the trust, and we find a lot of of benefits, financial benefits, by working with the trust. But the specifics of the you know, the property tax situation could be discussed by the city, but I know that they're on record in support of this project. They want to see it happen. They see this as a very positive step.
But, what's the current rent that we're paying?
The current rent is $2.33 a square foot. The lease is due in 2012, and that rate would more than likely change. There are substantial renovation requirements that are needed in the current site, so the rate would be expected to change. The rate on the proposed facility is at a ceiling of $3.50. That's a negotiated ceiling. It can't go beyond that. But you also have in your packet comparable data for space around the state, and it's very much in line with what we call Class B space around the state. Also, in looking at those numbers, you must take into account that the state often will have to invest funds beyond what the per square footage rate is in order to bring that facility up to a standard to meet IT requirements and lighting requirements and other state standards.
Okay, and if I may just
follow up.
Mm-hmm. I haven't looked at it this as closely as I should, but I know one of the biggest problems we have whenever we build a new building is parking.
Mm-hmm.
Is adequate parking included in this new facility?
There is. The site is 4.5 acres, and the permit would require on-site on-site parking requirement, and there is sufficient land there to meet that parking requirement.
I would imagine there's a code the City of Juneau has that you have to have so many places.
That's right. So many per office needs so many spaces.
And you meet that?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. That's an excellent question, one I asked in the office yesterday. Okay, maybe we'll go is there any other member here at the table that would like to ask any more questions? To Harry Noah, and he is the executive director of the Alaska Mental Health, and I think he's here in person. Harry, would you like to, are you just available to answer any questions, or
I'm here to answer questions.
Are there any questions that we just recently asked that you have the ability to answer at this time? Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you,
appreciate
Representative Minot.
For the record, my name is Harry Noah, and I'm Executive Director of the Land Office for the Trust. Senator, you asked a question about the return to the Trust. For the money that the Trust is investing, the half of the money, $22.7 million, we're asking 7.5% on that money, which basically is on par with what we would get for that money in the permanent fund under normal conditions. So that's what we're asking for in terms of our money. Mm-hmm. We're also asking for 8% of the value of the land as per the lease of the land. So those are the two main areas of return. Ultimately, the building will be paid for, and there will be a cash flow from the building. There is still an additional negotiation that we have to go on with the Department of Administration about exactly what that number will be. This bill would set an upper limit as to what that number might be, but that negotiation is still to be completed after this bill passes, if you so desire to do that.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? Thank you very much. Vern Jones, he's the Chief Procurement Officer from Department of Administration, and you're here in person. Vern, could you come up and state your name and affiliation, please, for the record?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. My name is Vern Jones. I'm the Chief Procurement Officer for the state. I don't have any prepared testimony, but I would like to go on record as saying that we've obviously been working with the trust. We've analyzed the deal. We believe in the long term this building would provide us a savings. Not only that, it solved several problems for us. As The sponsor's representative mentioned earlier, we have a large building housing the Department of Labor at 68,000 square feet. That lease is coming to its end. It will end in June 2012. There is no vacant space to replace that lease existing in Juneau at the moment. This would provide an option for the state, an improvement for the state. We've had our issues with that building. Not only that, though, it solves a couple of other problems for my division and in general services, which I oversee. We manage several state office buildings, including the public safety building, which was, as Rep. Munoz mentioned, built in 1970 as a temporary building. We've still got a couple agencies in there. It needs a lot of work. Likewise, the Douglas Island Center in Douglas, housing the Department of Fish and Game, and which was built in 1961. It's got numerous problems with that facility. We've actually got wind and rain and snow coming in through the gaps in the walls and the windows, and we need a complete new exterior envelope for that building. As you can imagine, we're very reluctant to invest millions of dollars in these old facilities, which in our opinion is probably well beyond their useful lives and is frankly probably throwing good money after bad. That's why we have such a stack of deferred maintenance projects for those buildings. Okay. This would get us out of those buildings and into a new modern facility that's energy efficient and suitable for our employee workforce. I would like to say you've got an analysis there mm-hmm. from our division, and it shows a substantial savings over the years. I would like to say that's probably, in my opinion, fairly conservative, because in these state-owned buildings, all that's loaded in that analysis is the current list of deferred maintenance projects that we know of. And when you talk about a 30-year time period, certainly if this building didn't get built and we stayed in those facilities, there would be who knows how much more work needed to be done, or probably more likely replacement for those buildings. So I would like to point that out and note that our analysis shows that this is, even though we still have to negotiate a lease rate with the trust, we believe this is in our best interests.
Okay, thank you for your testimony. Any comments or questions? Okay. Next, we'll bring on, I know you're on phone, Jeff Jesse, the respected Chief Executive Officer for the Trust. Jeff?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think Representative Munoz and the other testifiers, including Harry Noah from the Trust Land Office, have done an excellent job of laying out this proposal. As was mentioned, when the Department Administration approached the Trust about the possibility of working with them on this project, the Trust Land Office did a really great job of looking at the options and what the potential returns were to the Trust over time, and the trustees found this to be in the best interest of the Trust and are very supportive of the project going forward. And with that, I'll be available to answer any questions.
Okay. Do any committee members have any questions for Jeff Jesse? Okay, thank you very much for your comments. Then I'll go ahead and mix this up a little bit. And Jeff Bush from the City and Borough of Juneau, would you like to come forward, Jeff, and state your name and affiliation for the record? Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Jeff Bush. I'm Deputy Mayor of the City and Borough of Juneau. I just wanted to go on record as saying the city's fully supportive of the project. We, the Assembly took up about 2 weeks ago an ordinance to change the zoning for the property to allow this project to proceed. There still needs to be some permitting done, as far as I understand it, that we anticipate will be coming through the Planning Commission, but the city is, at the moment, fully supportive of this project, very much so.
Okay, thank you.
And I'm available for questions.
Thank you very much. Does anyone have any questions? Okay, thank you very much for your testimony. Next, we'll go to Wayne Jensen. And let's see. I guess that's... Could you come forward, Wayne, and state your name and affiliation?
Yes, Madam Chair. My name is Wayne Jensen. I'm with the architectural firm of Jensen Yorba Lott in Juneau. I'm available to answer questions but I can say that we've been working with the Trust, the Department of Administration, and the tenant agencies for the past 9 or 10 months in developing this project, and we've been involved in preparing the cost estimates and the space requirements for this building. So with that, I would be available to answer questions if there are any.
Does anyone have any questions of the proposed architect? No? Okay,
okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And let's see, okay, I'm sorry. Would you mind returning? I'm sorry. Okay, Senator Kukesh.
Thank you. Senator Meyer asked a question about parking. Is that a requirement, and what is the requirement for spaces for the building that size?
Through the chair, Senator Kukesh, there's two requirements that will be in place for the building, one of which will be the land use requirements from the city of Juneau. And the second would be the lease requirements from the Department of Administration. And both of those would be an obligation of the Trust. As Deputy Mayor Bush mentioned, the Planning Department permitting process will be proceeding in the next couple of months, and the parking issue will be resolved at that point in time.
But there is a
follow-up.
A requirement for a certain number of parking spaces as equal to certain footage in a building or something like
that's
that?
Correct. That's correct.
That's what I wanted to know. Senator Meyer asked a question about parking.
Right. Through the chair, Senator Kukesh, the requirements are both based on the size of the building. Okay. And so they vary somewhat, and we'll look at coming up with a resolution that recognizes both of those standards. But they are based on the size of the building, number of parking spaces per square foot of building.
Okay. Thank you.
Could I follow up?
Yeah, follow up.
Thank you. And there is adequate space for it, just for the record, is there adequate space for parking and the building then?
Yes, Senator Kukesh, through the chair, we anticipate there will be adequate space.
Great, thank you.
Yeah.
So it's 4.5 acres totaled, right, for the parking and the building?
That's correct.
And
that's correct.
Okay. Okay, any follow-up on that? Okay. Thank you very much. I believe we have one more person, Devin Mitchell, State Investment Manager with the Department of Revenue. Could you come forward, please, and state your name and affiliation for our record.
Yes, Devin Mitchell. I'm the debt manager for the state of Alaska, as well as an investment officer, as you pointed out. I'm really here just to answer questions associated with the certificates of participation. I do have a couple of observations that the project has been the result of a convergence of a variety of missions with the Mental Health Trust and the Land Office, as well as the state of Alaska, the Department of Administration, and the various agencies that are housed in facilities that either need to be replaced or have leases that are coming due. As far as the certificates go, it's a practice that the state has used a number of times. Senator Myers, and I'm sure Senator Kukesh are familiar, but it's a means of borrowing money for specific facilities that's been used throughout the state, most recently for a virology lab at the University of Alaska Fairbanks campus, and I think maybe more relevantly for the replacement of the API facility in Anchorage, where you had different circumstance but a similar partnership with funding coming from a variety of sources that provided for a project that was badly needed. The bonds or these certificates that we would sell, we would anticipate receiving ratings in the low AA category. The state sold general obligation bonds today, which is a slightly better credit than a subject to appropriation credit, but the 20-year bonds, and these were approved in November of 2008 for transportation projects throughout the state, the true interest cost was 4.04%. So in our fiscal note, we had assumed a rate of 5.5%, so that's obviously a conservative rate in today's market. But the rate that we were able to achieve today is indicative of what might be possible. And if you had any specific questions, happy to answer them.
Okay, is there any questions from the committee members?
I do, Madam Chair.
Okay, Senator Meyer.
Yeah, Mr. Mitchell, I'm a little confused. We've already got the money at 5%?
No.
Secured?
Sorry.
Okay.
Through the chair, or Senator, sorry, Meyer. The fiscal note just had a estimate of what might be possible, and as far as I was just giving you the actual rate that we were able to achieve today in the market that exists, but there's been a fairly wide distribution of interest rates that have been available over the last 6 months, given the dislocation that we saw in October in particular, where there were certain days you couldn't sell bonds.
Right.
And a credit like this is an extremely strong credit, and that's recognized in the market, but still if you have Merrill Lynch and Lehman Brothers going out of business or being purchased or going out of business, then that type of dislocation is difficult to overcome. And you saw that, for example, the Matanuska-Susitna borough lease revenue bonds, which are supported by the state as well on a subject to appropriation basis, and that is the credit. The borough pledges the lease payments that it receives from the state, so it's called something different, but it's the same credit. Those achieved an interest rate of just under 6% versus 4.04 that we achieved today, so there's a fairly large swing. Different credit. The state's GO would have priced better than the lease revenue bonds back on December 22nd, but maybe 50 basis points better, not 200. So,
okay, Madam Chair.
Follow up.
And I don't mean to make this a finance committee here, but I guess the other concern I would have is our overall debt load that the state has. But I'm whoever we borrow the money from, I'm sure is going to look at that, and that will be reflected in the amount that they charge. But are you comfortable that we can take on this additional debt and still maintain a good credit rating?
Through the chair, Senator Meyer, yes. The authorization is, if you read the state's credit reports, that's one of the strengths of the state, is that we have a relatively low debt burden in the state of Alaska, not necessarily in ratio perspectives because we have a small population, but relative to revenues, since we have a significant revenue source with through natural resource oil extraction. So we're well within the parameters that we have. We typically use 5 to 8% as a threshold of unrestricted revenue as being an acceptable level of debt service. And with the updated revenue forecast, we're in the 5-ish range right now with existing debt, including the Matsu Borough bonds, as well as the GOs that we just issued. So,
thank you. Follow up.
You brought up a good point. Our source of revenue is primarily one source, and that one source isn't doing too good today. So that's why I was wondering if that impacts you when you go out and borrow money, because if our oil production is declining and the price of oil is obviously declining, that's kind of have some impact. But anyway, he's an expert in this. So.
Okay.
And I would point out that it's because of the good job that you guys do, the reserve position that the state has. It's incredible relative to what other states have available to them. When you take a look at the CVRF, the SVR, the forward funding of education, we highlight those things, and that's what allows us to retain our high rating despite the volatility of the revenue stream. So it's a good point, and I think the state's protected its position, that we're well positioned for us. It's a relatively small obligation in this instance.
Okay. And correct me if I'm wrong, but was the note for 20, I thought it was 30 years that we were
In this scenario, we're talking about 20 years.
20 years, okay, because I thought we mentioned 30 yesterday, but okay.
Remember, there's
two different things going on.
So there's COPs, which are 20, and then there's a lease for the facility that's 30.
Was the 30. Okay, yes. Thank you for that clarification. Okay, are there any other questions or comments? Is there anyone else in the audience that want to speak to Senate Bill 157? Certificates of participation. Well, seeing no further interest here in testifying, I will close public testimony. And what is there any comments at this time? What is the will of the committee on this bill? Do I hear a motion to move the bill from committee? Senator Meyer.
Madam Chair, I'm convinced that this is needed, and they've thought through it very well, so I'm comfortable moving the bill out of the committee.
Okay.
So with that, Madam Chair, I move that we move Senate Bill number 157 out of committee with the attached fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Okay, do I hear any objections? Hearing none, Senate Bill 157 moves out of State Affairs to Finance. Short at ease. Committee back to order. We are taking up Senate Bill 126, Reemployment of Retired and Exempt Employees. Today, with a blank committee substitute, version S, it will, is it the will of the committee to use this committee substitute as the working document? May I hear a motion?
I'll make a motion that we bring the committee substitute for Senate Bill 126, identified as 26-GS1035/S, before the committee for purposes of discussion.
Okay, do I hear any objections? Okay, hearing none, CS version S is adopted as the working document. We have Dan Wayne from Legal to explain the changes that have been made. Dan, are you in the audience or on the phone?
Hi, Madam Chairman. In Section 1 of the bill...
State your name, please, and affiliation for the record, Dan.
I'm sorry. This is Dan Wayne and from Legislative Legal. I helped draft the CS for SB 126 version S that's before the committee today. What this bill does is it creates a six-month waiting period between the time a person retires and the time a person can be rehired. It has a, let's see, on page 3, line 4, the bill deletes the language in the executive branch of state government. And this is significant because in subsection G, which appears on the previous page, we've taken out the words on line 27, similar to the procedure. And the idea, I think, was to make the procedure under H, make all employers subject to the procedure under H.
So it would delete executive branch, and it applies then to any employer?
Correct.
Okay.
There's a provision in Section 7 I think you probably have in your packet for this meeting, a memo from our office that explains a technical change that was made on page 3 in Sec 7. What happened there was a bill in 2005 that called for a repeal in 2009 of certain statutes, the substance of two of those statutes, however, was moved after 2005 to other places in state statute. So what we've done here is just amended this section to target that language more accurately, so that after the repeal, which would be, after the repeal, which would occur in 2010 under this bill, you won't have language left in statute that refers to rehired retirees. That's all, Madam Chair.
Okay, and then you did say at the sunset date would be 2010.
Right. And correct.
We changed from the 2013 to 2010.
Yeah. That's right. The title was changed too, I guess I should mention that, to reflect that certain items that were deleted in this version. We took out... let's see.
Chief of
Section 1 was deleted from the governor's bill. Section 1 would have put certain employees in the exempt service, I believe, is what it did. That was deleted. So we had to change the title to reflect that.
And then on page 2, line 27, we took out the word similar to clarify that it applies to all employers.
That's correct.
And then we amended H of 39.35.150 to change from 5 to 3 applicants, correct?
Yes.
And then we took Section 1 out on 5 of the bill so that DNR employees are left as they are now, and with the thought that that would be probably better handled in a separate piece of legislation next year. Is that correct, Dan?
I don't know why it was taken out. Or, you know, I don't know the policy reasons why it was taken out, but it was taken out.
Okay. And on 3, we removed the chief economist and left in the comptroller?
Yes, and the title was changed to reflect that deletion.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to add on the committee substitute?
No, Madam Chair. I was told to be present for today's meeting to answer questions about Sec 7.
Okay, good. And you can stay online for that.
All right.
Okay, thank you, Dan. I'm going to begin public testimony, but I'd like to extend my apologies to the constituents from Ketchikan for not allowing them to speak at our last meeting on Senate Bill 126. I spoke to them personally. It was not the way we normally handle things, but we were running very short of time. I believe in a very open and transparent process. However, due to those time constraints sometimes, I inadvertently ended testimony. So if they are online, I'm going to be as courteous as I can today and allow Agnes Moran from, I think it's the charter school. Agnes, are you online?
Yes, I am. am, and I'm not from the charter school. I'm just a parent.
I see. Okay, I'm sorry. Would you like to give testimony at this time, Agnes?
Yes, I would. My testimony is based on the original Senate bill. I don't have access to your substitute, so I apologize if I'm not as pertinent as I was hoping to be. My name is Agnes Moran, and I represent myself as a parent of two children who are in a charter school in support of Senate Bill 126. I believe Senate Bill 126 allows rural schools access to experienced educators and administrators who are available locally and have made a commitment to remain in Alaska. The number of participants in the retiree rehire program may appear small, but the impact of these individuals upon a community is large. A great many of the rehires are certified in various special education fields. The reading specialist at my children's school is one such individual. She has close ties to the Native community, and in addition to being a talented educator, she is definitely a positive role model. 86% of the Alaska Native students at our charter school scored proficient in both language arts and math, and that's higher than any other group in the school. I cannot overemphasize the importance of having access to educators experienced in the special needs field. I am a parent of a child who spent 6 years in the special needs program. These individuals are resources not only for the children and family they work with directly, but also for other educators and support staff. My son's first grade teacher was fresh out of college. To say she was overwhelmed by the needs of a diverse group of students would be a gross understatement. Fortunately, she had access to experienced educators to help guide her, and everyone benefited as she learned new ways to address the challenges faced by special needs students. You can check the websites of just about any of the school districts listed in the Alaska Legislative Report as having retiree rehires, and you'll find that these schools have current openings. So instead of viewing these rehires as barriers, as I've heard voiced here, I hope you can view them as a parent does, and I hope you can view them as bridges. Earlier, I heard the question posed of a presenter if they thought that passage of this legislation is critical. I would say the students, families, and communities benefiting from the experience of these rehires that, yes, passage of Senate Bill 126 is critical, and I appreciate your time in letting me speak today. Thank you.
Thank you, Agnes, and again, we apologize for last week.
No, that is fine. I appreciate your apology.
And then next we'll go, does anyone have any questions?
Next I can take questions if you'd like.
Okay, this will be...
I'm okay.
Oh, he's okay. I'm sorry. We reneged on that. Hannah Ramsky, please.
Good morning, and thank you for your personal call. That helped a lot. I am a grandparent of a child at this charter school, and she is a child who struggles and gets a lot of additional help. My concern is I have sent you several letters. I have explained why there, for example, was a custodian on the Ketchikan rehire list, which was pretty goofy, and I hope you all got that letter. That person's no longer there and was a temporary couple-month thing. I'm listening to these amendments, and I'm a little concerned because, again, I guess I understand if you are not a school and you don't fill a position for 6 months, maybe it's not critical. But if you have a charter school without an experienced principal and you have no applicants, does the school do without a body for 6 months, or do we put in a body who is not qualified while that child goes or that school goes for 6 months without help? Do you do without a reading specialist in Ketchikan because there aren't any that are certified in the curriculum that you have? A successful curriculum, I might add. I don't understand the impact to a school of waiting 6 months without a talented or qualified person to be in the position, and maybe I misunderstand that and you can explain that to me. I'm concerned about the public process. I don't understand, because I think Agnes and I have attended almost all your meetings, I don't understand when we took out the words or when... did all this committee substitute and action come? And I guess we've also listened to the House and their response to this bill. And I was pretty impressed when some members of the House, before passing this bill through, asked a man from one of the unions if it were okay if someone retired from Washington or Oregon and came to Alaska to double dip. So the union man said, well, yeah, that's okay. So he said, so if we have a committed person who lives in the state of Alaska, is committed to the state of Alaska, we do not allow him to do what we do for a person who retires in any other state. That is also a concern, because if you live in Ketchikan or if you live in Lower Kuskokwim or some of these other smaller places, we have 16 feet of rain a year some years, and we get people who come and then disappear after their first year or very shortly. So, and I'm sure some of you are from places where there's not always a ideal climate or situation. We don't have Nordstrom's. That seems to be an issue for wives. So I guess I would ask that you seriously look at the impact on children who are doing well when we say you can no longer have qualified people if they are not in your community or you cannot draw them to your community. Do we just take what we can get even if it's not right? I appreciate your work on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Hannah. Is there anyone else that wants to? Okay, then we will go off line for a minute and see Ginger Blaisdell, would you, from the Department of Revenue, would you like to come forward and state your name and affiliation, please, for the record? And
yes, thank you, Senator Menard. For the record, my name is Ginger Blaisdell, and I'm the Administrative Services Director for the Department of Revenue. And we did have the opportunity to look at one of the CSs last night, and I did speak with the other two agencies that are involved. And we just have a brief comment. I did have one question before I make my comment. When you were going through the bill description with Mr. Wayne online, you kept saying that all employers instead of similar in that section. I presume you're talking about all employers who participate in PERS or TERS.
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify that for the record because it's not going to impact the private sector.
No.
Okay. Okay, so our comment basically is changing the 30-day to 180-day provision will eliminate individuals from being considered for nearly the life of the program since it's now slated to sunset in 1 year. So a number of new retirees who would not be eligible until almost the end of the sunset provision. So it eliminates the younger spectrum of the retirement community. Changing from 5 applicants to 3 applicants is not a problem. Typically, when a retiree is rehired, they are the only person available, or if there is one other person who meets the minimum qualifications and a retiree is selected, it's usually because there are other issues with not selecting that candidate. A 1-year extension does not address the issue of unqualified or unwilling applicants to apply for hard-to-fill positions. Eliminating the chief economist leaves the states with a critical vacancy in a position that would be guiding the state in its critical global economic strategy. Eliminating the oil and gas positions puts the state at risk for high turnover in critical positions in oil and gas development. This bill does not accomplish what was originally intended to provide for a hiring pool to keep Alaskans employed in Alaskan jobs, regardless of their retirement status, and to provide options for hiring critical professional level positions in the Departments of Revenue and Natural Resources. And that's all we wanted to share.
Okay, Ginger, I'm sure there's committee members that have questions. Awesome. Seeing none, okay, thank you very much. Let's see, are these also on the Senate bill? Okay, Nikki Neal, you're available for questions.
Yes, Madam Chairman. This is Nikki Neal, Director of the Division of Personnel and Labor Relations, and I am available for questions.
Okay. And then Jeff Jesse, you're also online for questions from the Mental Health Trust. And Dan Wayne, of course. So is there anyone else in the audience that would like to give testimony to this committee substitute of Senate Bill 123, version S? Seeing none, then I will close public testimony. Do any committee members have any further comments or questions?
I do.
Okay. Senator Kukesh.
I don't like the idea of changing from 100, from 30 days to 180 days, so if that's not changed, I'm not going to support the bill going forward.
Okay. Is there anyone else that wants to? Okay, Senator Meyer.
Madam Chair, I would just ask Senator Kukesh if a compromise is attainable there, 3 months instead of 6 months.
Yeah, I just don't like 6 months or 180 days.
Yeah.
I think I'd probably be supportive of maybe half of that, or I just don't want to have to wait that long, because I come from a rural district too, and sometimes you need somebody right away, and to have somebody available and not have to and have to have that time constraint on you doesn't work. The whole intent of this bill was to have a pool, and I agree with the young lady who spoke last, and you don't have a pool if you have those kind of numbers on it. It just doesn't work. We might as well just not pass this bill if we're going to put those kind of restrictions on it. Just doesn't make any sense to me.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I agree with that. My concern with the 180 days, and I mentioned this to some of the folks, was that sometimes a person gets a little rusty after mm-hmm. 6 months, mm-hmm. and if you indeed need to have this person, you want them to come in and hit the ground running, and so I guess I would tend to agree with Senator Kukesh that maybe 90 days instead of 180 would be more.
Yeah. And I'd live with that. I would be able to support the bill going forward, even though I'm not happy with 90 days. Mm-hmm. It works better for me, because there's still something that this bill needs to accomplish that doesn't accomplish anything right now.
Okay. Is it the will of the committee that we could change, we could make an amendment to the committee substitute and go from, instead of the 180 days, this 6 months, to the 90 days.
I could just ask Senator Kukesh, because I want to fully understand exactly, mm-hmm. so that if a teacher retired out of one per school or mm-hmm. terse school district, they could not come into a rural school district if they were retired and teach. You're worried about the 180 days versus that. That's the situation.
That's exactly where I am. Yeah.
Okay.
I want to develop, and I agree with the young lady, there has to be a pool. You eliminate a lot of people out of the pool if they have to wait a certain period of time. And a lot of times you'll have teachers in rural Alaska that for some reason or another have to leave in January or have mm-hmm. to leave in March, maybe because of family emergency or something happens. We had a young lady in Angoon that got cancer, mm-hmm. and her husband had to take her, and they were both teachers, and they had to leave from Angoon and go to Anchorage for mm-hmm. 7 months. So you wait for 6 months to hire somebody, you're teaching the school and the kids in that school with substitute teachers who have never gone to college, who are just available to substitute teach.
Okay, that's reasonable. What is the wish of the committee?
Well, Madam Chair, I'll make the amendment, and then somebody can object, and we can talk to the amendment, I guess.
Okay.
My amendment would be, wherever it says 180 days to change to 90 days, and I think it's, I see it on page 1, line 12, page 2, line 25. I think that's it. So that would be, my motion would be to change 180 days to 90 days.
Are there any objections?
Yes, okay. I object for purpose. I think of that's discussion. What Senator mm-hmm.
Senator Passman. Okay.
We'll object for purpose of discussion. You know, for if I may,
go ahead, Adam. Yes.
You know what I'm concerned with here, one way or another, is a person staying in the same job that they were in. You know, saying that they want to retire, and then weeks later. You know, stay in that same job. That's different than the situation.
And
I don't know if we can address both of those issues, because I absolutely agree that in those situations we need to accommodate and make sure that there's as big a pool as possible to fill there. But if someone's retiring from that same job, in other words, not going to a different school district, that's my concern, and I don't know how we can deal with that in here. But
yes, Senator Kukesh.
I think that's why, even though I'm not happy with 90 days, it still gives you that gap of 3 months. And if that person is really needed in that position that you're talking about, outside of the school district maybe, the school district is going to have to find somebody. And they could find somebody who's not a retiree and bring them in and be another I mean, if that's so critical, guy so critical, or a young lady or a person so critical, that place, that position could be filled before the 180 days with somebody who's not a retiree.
Okay, Senator French.
Madam Chair, thanks. Senator Kukesh makes a good point about the school districts, and I would just point out that Senator Myers' proposed amendment, I think in, you know, trying to make Senator Kukesh's wishes come true, pertains, the school district number is in Section 1, is what I'm trying to say. And in Section 4, we're talking about PERS employees, a different class of employees. I don't know if that's your intention, Senator Kukesh, or Senator Meyer, but I just point out that if we want to deal with teachers, it's Section 1 should be 90 days, and we could leave the other 180-day number alone and still fix the concern you have.
Senator Kukesh.
I mean, I never thought about it in that light. I don't know. I'm okay with the teacher part. That's what I was concerned about. Never thought about the public employee part.
Okay.
Senator Meyer, I don't know.
We're still under discussion.
Yeah, I guess my thought is I don't know if there's a similar situation that can happen like you're talking about with a PERS employee.
I don't know.
Or if it is just a TERS employee, that this would be a problem.
Well, who wrote the CS?
We did with Debbie and
Did you have any problem with changing the second portion to 90 days also, if you wrote the CS? Because I think that
I don't
we
have
should
any
be consistent, and it'd be nice if we were consistent in this.
I don't have any problem with it. I'm just trying to get something better than what was originally stated, because I think there has been not the attention paid to this that there should be, that we're not bringing people up. And some people have had these jobs, and the next day they get hired right after they get out of retirement.
All you're looking for is a separation.
Right.
Well, I think the separation of 180 days is too much. I'm willing to accept 90 days, and that makes some sense to me. So if that argument makes some sense to you, I appreciate if you would let us be consistent in this and just have it at 90 days for both of them.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it gives you a good separation.
I just want to make sure we're all clear about what we were doing with Senator Meyer's amendment.
Okay.
Well, Madam Chair, and I don't see any Carpinetti here, but she had mentioned in the courts that there were some critical positions that was necessary for them. And again, I don't know how 90 days versus 180 days impacts, you know, what they were trying to do. Maybe Ginger can speak on their behalf.
Senator Passavant.
One more comment. In other words, I have no problem if someone is leaving the Fairbanks North Star School District and wants to go and teach in Angoon, and that separation is, you know, they stop teaching in May in Fairbanks and they start teaching in August, September in Angoon. The problem that I am somewhat concerned with is the person that, whether they're a PERS or a TERS, that they have a job at a chair in an office on one day, and they retire and they stay in that same chair. That's a different issue.
Right? And that's why I think that 90 days gives you a separation there. And that's my statement earlier. If that person is so critical, then that position has got to be filled next day. I'm sure no employer is going to wait 90 days to wait for him to come back and be available. They'd have somebody else in that position. I would if I was an employer. So I think that the separation is what you're looking for, too. You're looking for a separation, too. And I think we get it by 90 days.
And by putting the department on notice, then they're going to be extremely active in trying to recruit these people. If you've got just a stellar Pulitzer Prize employee and you know they're willing to come back even if they're retiring, it's human nature. You're going to slide them in that slot, and then, you know, when do these other employees ever become a desirable applicant because you've had such an experienced person, and it's very tempting because you're very busy as the head supervisor or whatever to keep those good people. But it's arrogant for any of us to think that we can't be replaced. It's just my, it's just I feel obviously strongly. Go ahead, Senator Pasquin.
You know, I'm supportive of changing it to the 90 days, especially with the repeal July 1, 2010. So we would be, you know, we would know whether someone is trying to abuse the retire, rehire as compared to enhances. So, I mean, to the extent that it's next year, we're going to be, we'll have the opportunity to find out how many people have participated and how many stayed in their same job as compared to move from one district to another. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's...
And the next committee, this goes to is Labor and Commerce.
Okay.
Okay. is there any more discussion? Does anyone have any problem with the amendment?
Okay. Is there a remaining objection to
yes,
it?
Yes, Senator
Pasquin. I remove my objection.
Okay. Good. Then we're all on this same page. So what will the will of the committee be?
So my motion is approved?
Yes.
Then
to move this bill out of state affairs.
I don't know. Is there any other amendments to be made? Okay. Then, Madam Chair, I'll move that we move the CS for Senate Bill 126 as amended with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal.
Okay. Thank you. Any objections? Hearing none, Senate Bill 126 version S moves out of with the amendment moves out to Labor and Commerce. This meeting is
adjourned. Madam Chair, just to make sure for the clerk and for the record, that was a conceptual amendment?
Yeah.
Okay, you're okay with that? Okay, good.
Okay, good. Okay, adjourn.